Hey, hey, and welcome into the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thanks so much for hanging out. It is much appreciated. We are brought to you by the fine folks over at Remy Martin. This is my city. I know what you were thinking. You were thinking, wait a minute, Lawrence, we got rid of you. The Bears lost, so why are you doing a podcast tonight? Well, I kind of felt like it. You know, I've gotten used to the routine, and it's not like I'm doing anything else. I mean, I'm watching the national championship and stuff, but it's halftime when I'm recording this. So I got a few minutes where I can pontificate on a couple of different things. And I wanted to spend some time talking about you for a second, because this has been fun for me. And as I've talked about multiple times, and people don't quite understand it, so I'll give it a go and try and explaining it again. Covering a team is like working at a bakery or working at a pizza place, where you kind of know how things are done and you are oversaturated with it. And at least in the form of trying to do the journalism right, you need to divorce yourself from the fandom. There are all sorts of places where you can find people who are fans that are talking about it, and that's okay. Like, that's one of the things that's grown about media. It's become a little bit more democratic in that regard. I still try to take seriously the part of being able to do this in a way that's fair, not always objective, because we all come from a different point of view. But I do try to be fair and see other people's points of view. Like, that's a thing that I want to try and make clear. So it takes some of the rooting interest out for me. But what I have found to be great is watching Bears fans this season collectively lose their shit. And I have enjoyed it immensely, because you are, as a fan, skeptical. It's part of the reason that we connect, is that I am also skeptical. And with my experiences covering teams, it can sometimes lead you down the road of being cynical. But I like you being skeptical. There's definitely some don't want to get hurt again stuff that's going on with Bears fans, especially when it comes to quarterbacks for the Bears, that you did throw your heart in with Justin Fields, and you did with Mitchell Trubisky and any other quarterback that's come here. Like, Justin Fields is, like, people forget Justin Fields' last game, people were chanting his name. There were a lot of Bears fans that didn't want to see that young man go. Now, I think that he has made some strategic mistakes with his career, but not my problem, right? Not my problem anymore. And so with Caleb Williams and seeing how badly things went last year, it was hard for you to buy in, even though everyone was telling you that this was going to be someone who changed the game. Now, how right did they turn out to be? He's made throws this year. I was talking with Tony Gill, who was on the pod. You should check out a couple episodes back. Herbie, Tony, Rick Camp were all on the pod. We had a good time. If there would have been more Bears games, I would have thrown some other people on. And maybe I still will. Like, maybe I'll do some aftermath stuff. Shout out to Dre. Get Ronji on, because Ronji's been rocking his Bears cap on KMOX, and talk with him about it and some other folks that might want to jump in. But I was saying to Tony that, because he said, man, that was like the throw of the year. And I was like, no. And I'm not one for hyperbole. The throw that Caleb Williams made on that 4th and 4 was one of the greatest throws ever. Full stop. In the history of the NFL, that is one of the greatest throws that's ever been made. I don't, how can you tell me any different? And the crazy part is, I can think of, like, off the top of my head, three more, and you could probably think of like 10 more. But the game winner against Green Bay was also one of the best throws that you'll ever see. The touchdown to DJ Moore against Cleveland. Basically, it's a side-by-side of the Dwight Clark catch. And then the 4th and 8. Those are four historic throws. So the fact that you've gotten that is really fantastic. But what I like about it is that there was an element of prove it. But there's a certain degree of prove it that happens for Bears fans that when it happens, man, the way you love is really awesome. Like, it is an all-encompassing thing. And now Caleb is the beneficiary of that. And I think that he feels it. He talked a little bit about it in the post game, and when you have a fan base that's behind you and they are loud and they're happy that you're there, like, it, I'm sure it means the world to the people that are touched by that. I mean, I get it to a small degree. Like, you watch the podcast and listen to the radio show. When I do television, you do that, and it's really nice. For Caleb, it's on a scale that's so grand. And last night, the Soldier Field audience gave Caleb Williams a standing ovation. And guess what? He fucking deserved it. He deserved it. This Bears team this year was so fun to cover. And now I'm not doing it every day, like, not as a beat reporter, but as a talk show host, which gives me a little bit more latitude to have some fun with it. And it was fun. For me, I think, like, the, hey, they could win it thing, and I talked a little bit about it on the pod last night. It was the Pittsburgh game for me where I said, okay, like, this is real now. And you can start thinking about the playoffs. And then it became about, oh, they could win the division too. When it comes to football, in baseball, I'll accept it, even though I don't like it. I don't like the idea of a year too early. Like, I hate that shit. In baseball, I get it. In football, it just isn't that way. We tend to think of stair-stepping to championships. And I know, as a fan, that we saw it take place with the Bulls, the 90s Bulls, the 80s and 90s Bulls. Like, I remember being 12, 13 years old and seeing them getting punked by Detroit. And then, you know, the narrative begins. Like, Jordan, Pippen, Grant, Tim Grover gets them in the best shape ever. And Jordan changes his body composition because he knows that he's going to have to deal with hard fouls and everything else that the Pistons are trying to do to him. And they come back and they gradually make their way up to the top, and they stay at the top, and then Jordan retires and he comes back, and then they go straight to the top. In the NFL, because we're talking about one game sample sizes, it can go and come quick. And that's why people in that locker room, and shout out to Cole Kmet, because he kept it 100. He and Kevin Byard both were like, you're not promised this. You're not promised it. It looks like it's set up to succeed, but you're already seeing that when there's success, people who played a role in the success might get opportunities to do other things, and no one should begrudge them that. And if they want to stay, great. But if they don't and they want to build something or they want to improve their career, I respect it. It's what you want. What I think is cool is that this group of coaches that Ben Johnson put together, I have some trust that he'll be able to keep that going, that it's not the end of the world if Eric Bieniemy leaves to go be the OC in Kansas City. And it's not the end of the world if Al Harris becomes the defensive coordinator in Green Bay. And it's not the end of the world if Antoine Randall becomes the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers and whatever else might happen with his coaching staff. I do think the Declan Doyle fear is a little weird because he hasn't called plays. So I'm sure someone will give him an opportunity to do that at some point. But Ben's in charge of the offense, so I don't. I feel like you can find another Declan, and I'm not trying to diss on Declan. I'm just saying that Ben can find someone else to help move up the ranks and keep all of the menial stuff that a coaching staff, an offensive coaching staff, has to do in order. I have full faith in that, but I'm getting away from the point. So let me get back to it. The point is that watching Bears fans in these moments has been wonderful. Watching the city be a big part of this and all of the different ways that the culture and cultures of Chicago have bled through this thing, that everyone has a piece of it. Like, I love when the Bears win, Herbie will post a footwork GIF. And that's very Chicago to do that, like a celebratory way to do that. The Tribune did a whole story on the percolator, which, you know, my brother played a role in helping build that song, like, and build that song's trajectory with his friends back in the day. Like, and hearing, and I was talking with my brother yesterday, we went and had lunch, and I was asking him about that song, and he was telling me, like, really cool shit, like, how the percolator became, and I remember, like, some of this, I was young when this happened, but they didn't get radio play. Like, it's a song that got popular because of tape distributions in the city, that places like GCI and BMX and stuff back in the day weren't playing it, and that they would ship tapes all over the world because people wanted to hear that song. And so to know that history, like, so personally because of my brother, and then to see it become a Chicago Bears hype video. Like, that's wild. And there's other stuff too. Like, the way that the city comes alive when teams win. And it's more so when the Bears are the great unifier. You know, because I've always felt like there are some splinters that make sense and some that don't. The Cubs-White Sox thing makes sense to a degree. The Bulls-Blackhawks thing doesn't make sense to me. I feel like it's rooted in some stuff that I don't want to get into right now, but it doesn't make sense. Like, everyone who's a Chicago fan should be a fan of both the Bulls and the Blackhawks. You know what I mean? Like, even if you don't like basketball or like hockey, when you have to choose, you should probably choose the Chicago team. But I digress. Seeing the way that, whether it's food culture and people latching on to Caleb and his matcha drink, or, you know, his one earbud in type thing. And also, to keep it 100 with you, when the Tyler Dunn piece came out, and I didn't like it because it reminded me of some stuff that I had heard throughout the draft process with Caleb, and I mentioned this a few pods back, that the turning point for me, as being someone who really wanted to see what would happen if Justin Fields got proper coaching and better players around him, the turning point for me on Caleb was seeing people rag on him for stuff that wasn't football. And the shit that was in that piece to me was so destructive. And it was clear that it was slanted in a way that I thought was unbecoming. And it's why there wasn't a lot of credence paid to it on our show. And people were acting like it was gospel when it was really kind of gossip. Let's take a little time out and talk about our friends over at Aura. Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data. Your name, your address, phone number, even details about your family. Those get pulled from public records and the internet and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea that it exists. If you ever searched yourself, you probably saw some stuff that you found surprising, or you've ended up on robocalls that you have no idea how you got on that list, and you don't want to be on that list. Aura helps you fight back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. Aura removes what is already exposed, protects what is not, and puts you back in control. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's Aura, aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. See the site for details. Check it out for yourself. aura.com/remove. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. When we walk into the new year, we often look at it as a way to reset, rethink things. That comes with its own set of problems and anxiety. It's not always the easiest thing to do to work through your biggest problems, and that's where BetterHelp can help you. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. They're going to match your commitment to find you the best therapist. They'll do the initial matching so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, having served over 5 million people globally. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
But that was the turning point for me. And the other part was, is like seeing the way that he handled things last year, at least outwardly, seeing that he could have bust tossed hard and he didn't. He could have blown that staff up and he didn't. He just kind of put his head down and went to work. And you saw like the GQ piece and he's like, yeah, it was rough. All that stuff was rough. And we all knew, because we saw him get sacked 68 times last year. We saw there being incompetence. We saw them make a terrible hire at offensive coordinator. And now with better coaching, a better philosophy, look at what he's become. He's become the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. With no Lamar in the playoffs and now no Josh Allen in the playoffs, people are not going to talk about some of the great plays that Josh Allen made. He also made a lot of terrible ones. They're going to talk about what Caleb's doing. And think about this. Caleb threw three interceptions. And it'll be days and maybe weeks before that becomes a thing that people are like, well, you know, he threw three interceptions. But what people are going to are gobsmacked by is the throws, the tantalizing ability. And we'll see if he can put it together consistently. Like, this is one of the issues with Jaden Daniels. But he's played every game. He hasn't been hurt. He hasn't complained. And he has built this. He has built a loyal fan base in you. And that shouldn't be dismissed. Like, it's fun to watch that happen organically. I'll give you an example of someone else in town right now who I think has similar but not the same. PCA is like that. Like, there's a stop and watch factor with PCA. And he's still a growing and evolving ball player. But you can see the electricity. And you can see, like, I don't know what that kid's got, but he's got something. And I want to watch. And I want to see how this is going to play out. And that run that he went on in the first half of last season left people drooling. And in the second half, there was a dip. And he's definitely, I think that the floor is set in for PCA. I know that he's going to go get it out in the outfield. I know he's going to throw people out. I know he's going to steal bases. I know that he's got pop in his bat. And now it's a matter of where's the trade-off between power and on base for him, because he's a free swinger. He is going to run into 20 home runs a year. But could that be 15 home runs and 45 doubles that will then turn into triples? You know what I mean? But there's that type of electricity, even though Nico's my guy, he's not electric like that. He's their best player. But PCA has got, there's something cool about him. It's the same thing with Caleb. You react to them. And you're like, man, like, this guy seems to have some stuff figured out. And so Chicago rallying behind Caleb when there are still a bunch of really ignorant people that will tell you about his earrings and his nail polish. And, you know, like, we're supposed to sit there and act like it's not coded language, you know? And he just rolls right through it. And the fact there are Bears fans now that are like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to paint my nails. Now what? It's cool because he does it. So I'm going to do it. And that there are kids out there being like, I want to be like Caleb. And he hasn't, all he's done is like lived his life. Like, he doesn't do anything. He's very well managed, and he's probably, and what I mean by that is not like actual people managing him, but him managing his entire image. He's been waiting for this moment since he was 10. And if you read the Seth Wickersham book, it takes a lot of stones to try and raise a quarterback, especially one that can get to this level and play the way that he's played. But think about that. Like, think of the different branches of Bearsdom that Caleb can kind of pull and bring together. And I think that we have seen it. I think that you have responded to it. And I think it's really beautiful. I think that he has harmonized a fan base in a way that other players have not been able to. And even though he's imperfect, like that's the cool shit to me. He's not a perfect quarterback. There's still room to grow, similar to PCA. But even in the imperfections, you see something cool and you're like, man, the Bears have a guy who can do that. And you see it one time, you can dismiss it. You see a season of that stuff, hard to dismiss it. So yeah, seeing the rallying around him and the community aspect of what it is that he's done is really impressive. And I'm impressed by you. I'm impressed by, if ever I want the Bears to win, it's two-pronged. One is really selfish. It's that more people are going to listen to the radio show. They're going to listen to the podcast. That's helpful. And honestly, it ends up making me more money. The second part is, I came to a realization a long time ago. I like to see my friends happy. In some cases, like just on a personal note, I tend to want other people to be happy. That's my happiness versus like going and trying to actually find some happiness for me. And I'm getting better at that part of it. But it's why I don't get upset with like Cubs success. Like as a White Sox fan, I don't get, because I have a lot of friends who have worked at the Cubs, and I have a lot of friends who are Cub fans. And I, unless they're playing the White Sox, go crazy. Like, it doesn't bother me at all. Like, how can I sit next to Nico and not want him to do well? That dude's awesome. I've actually hosted the last three manager shows. And I loved Rossi, and I love Joe. Joe's been a little bit out here with some of the stuff he's been saying lately, but I know in his heart he's a good person. At least I shouldn't say that universally, but I know from our interactions that he has more of an open mind than he has shown recently. Let me put it that way. But, and here's the thing. The Cubs at any point could have rejected putting their manager on with me. They could have. And it never came up. And that to me is respect. Like they know that I'm going to do the job right and treat their guy fair. And towards the end of the 10 years of Rossi and Joe, those questions weren't easy that we were giving them. All I'm saying is that seeing you guys be happy during this run, it meant the world to me. Getting happy phone calls, Janet from Milwaukee, stuff like that. Like that's when the job is so fun. And I kept telling everyone, like at the station, and I know I'm the old guy now, and that's okay. But I kept telling everyone, yeah, it's work. It's work right now. We are churning out content right now. But this is the fun part. This is the fun part. What we just experienced, that's the fun part. And it sucks that we have to go back into the space of waiting around and there being mediocrity and the Bulls being whatever and the White Sox, like everyone telling you that they're going to be so much better, but they're probably still going to lose somewhere between 90 and 100 games this season. And people thinking that, well, they'll stair step their way to a championship. Not unless they continue to spend money. But we'll see. We'll get to the White Sox and stuff later. I've probably gone on too long now anyway, but I just wanted to say that watching you watch the Bears was phenomenal. I had a blast doing it. And I'm excited to see what happens next. I can't promise you anything, nor would I try. I've been in this business way too long to act as if it can't go sideways. It can. But for this past season and until the next one starts, think about all the cool stuff that you'll take from this season. You'll take the good, better, best stuff. Like, that's what I mean. Like, that became... Ben took that shit and he gave it to Chicago and Chicago was like, yep, that's us. That's us right there. The Wiener Circle stuff, like everything, that blending of sports and culture and sports as culture. That's some powerful shit, man. And seeing it play out like that, I love it. I love it. All right. I've talked too much. Feel free to comment in the comments and know that I'm appreciative. Okay. I'll talk to you next time. Peace.